Welcome to episode 440 of the official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day to everyone. And as always, we also have producer Gerald here.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day to everybody.
Happy Big Papa Day.
That's why they call me Big Papa.
Now, you were gone last week, so you're not always here.
I'm not always here, but you always say it, and I don't want to call you out on it every time, so I just do it every now and then.
You were on hiatus, holiday.
I had kid things to do, so to speak.
Cabin in the woods.
It was a house on the lake, but sure.
Same thing.
Different.
Cut off from civilization, no power.
That's 100% true.
No power?
No, there was power. No Wi-Fi that was worth a crap.
No power, no water, no running water, no Wi-Fi.
We had running water. We had all that. It was a house on the lake.
They had to catch the food.
Didn't catch the food. Grilled some hamburgers.
Gerald's pulled up a place that I can only assume is where mosquitoes come from.
That is not where I stayed.
Like all mosquitoes.
That's their home, ground zero, mosquito ground zero.
Yeah. That's nice.
That is kind of nice, isn't it?
How was it?
It was good. It was actually a chance. A lot of my wife's family lives up there. So it was actually, we had what was called a sip and see. So where you put out like little snacks and mimosas, and we had it at the rec center up there, and then everybody could come visit, you know. It only lasted, you know, a couple, 3 hours, but it was a chance for her, a lot of members of her family to meet Quentin, the baby. And, yeah, it was nice. It was nice. In the afternoon, we spent the day out on a giant floating dock. I got some sun. So, overall, not a horrible weekend. Not the first choice of how I'd prefer to spend my weekends, but that's the compromise I make.
You lost me at sun.
At sun?
Getting some sun.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like the dude from Jurassic Park.
It does. Looks like Dr. John Hammond.
Yeah. I'd love to have a house on the lake one day.
It's nice. We've looked. We keep an eye out. Not that. I don't know what that is.
That's like what I can afford. That's a chicken coop on the lake.
That is a chicken coop on the lake. You are correct.
That's in my budget.
Is that screens? Is it made out of screen?
No, I think it's a...
Oh. Voodoo Queen fine. Of New Orleans also lives here?
She doesn't live there. There's no way any queen of anything. No, it's like walled off.
Maybe the mosquito queen. No, it looks like black tar paper. Like what goes under your shingles.
Maybe it's just mesh.
That could be too.
It's a tiny home.
Yeah. No, I got that.
I got that part, Gerald.
It's got two Adirondacks that come with
Thank
it.
Thank you. Thank you, Captain Obvious, for pointing that out. That it was tiny. There's literally chairs next to it for reference.
For size. I always put my dick in every picture I send. So no matter what it is, I just want scale. And then I put something inside my dick so they know how big my dick is. So I have three objects in every picture I send.
Like a Keystone can or some shit?
Yeah, Keystone. It's always my dick, a Natty Light can.
Yep. There you go. A 16-ounce can, though.
Yeah.
For that true reference.
Right. It's a ruler, my dick, and an object. I could just use the ruler and the object, but I like it better this way.
Right.
It's weird taking pictures in public, though.
You what? What in public?
I said it's weird having to take pictures like that in public.
It is, yeah. That's also illegal in some spots, so.
No, all spots, I think.
Most spots. No, because like on a nudist colony, it's not illegal, I'm sure.
I don't know if you should just be anywhere. Just
in the privacy of your own home, it's not illegal. So
That's a little too on the lake right there.
That's definitely on the lake.
It's a little too on the lake. So you spent the week in the woods. I assume you didn't play much.
I didn't play much last week, or last weekend, no. And I actually haven't played much in the last few weeks. I can rattle them off real quick. I played some more Biomutant, which I still like, but it's a RPG, and I just think it's way too time-consuming for what I have to do. So that may be something that I have to go back to at some point and start over, because I'm not super that far into it, but far enough into it. I've come to the conclusion, to the realization that, or maybe given up, I don't know, but the Game Pass is my friend, and I really need to utilize it for what it, the way it should be utilized. So I'm just going through and picking out games, playing them for a little bit. If I like them, I keep them. If not, I get rid of them. I played this game called Descendants. It's a mountain biking game that's not great, but I picked up a couple trophies and I tried it and decided it's not for me. But I think Game Pass is going to give me a chance to try some things that I normally maybe would have liked to have tried or played, but not necessarily wanted to buy. I have, you know, whatever it is, Dungeons and Dragons, Dark Alliance, I think. I have that preloaded, ready to go. I started to play Ori and the Will of the Wisps. I didn't play the first Ori, but this one's pretty cool. I think I might continue on with that one. I got a bunch of stuff downloaded that I can play at any point that I normally wouldn't have. Resident Evil, I think, 7. It's free on Game Pass. I think I finally got into the right mindset to totally and completely embrace Game Pass for what it is.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to benefit me right now for my what my playing for the time I actually have to actually sit down and play. I think it's going to benefit me in the long run. So I don't actually see me. Especially, and we'll get into it, some of the big announcements last weekend that occurred. I think I don't see myself buying anything for a considerable amount of time. I think I will just utilize probably Game Pass to do the little bit of gaming that I have to do. So that's it. That's where I'm at with gaming.
Gerald, did you play anything different?
Nope, just the same two. Strain and Deep, which you hate, and then a bunch of Days Gone.
Which you hate.
They're adding a co-op to Strain and Deep.
Will you play it with Gerald?
No. I don't plan on playing it at all.
Fair enough. You're still into Days Gone, Gerald.
Oh, yeah, I'm really far. I'm going through the hordes now, just taking them out one by one.
You gonna platinum that game?
I don't know. I haven't really looked at the trophies to see.
Hmm.
I'm only, I think, like 34 or 44% on the trophies, but...
How far are you to finishing the game?
I thought I was done like a month ago, but I guess there's a lot more to it.
All right. Like, did you complete the story, though?
No.
Huh. But you thought you did.
Yeah, there was a certain something happens. I'm like, oh, the story's done and over with. Nope, there's more to it.
Cool. And I don't know. I think it needs to be clear cut that, look, this is the end of the story. If I have questions, I think I'm a little annoyed.
I think it's going to be kind of like how GTA, if you play GTA, you're done with the story, but you can still continue and do other missions. I think that's how this is going to be.
It's just another... just another theft by Days Gone.
Mm-hmm. Game's fine. I'm more interested in going back to that than I am Stranded Deep.
Oh, to Days Gone?
I could see a world where I go back to Days Gone. I don't see a world where I go back to Stranded Deep unless something happens.
Co-op, isn't it, huh?
I don't think so. Like, be annoyed with a buddy? I don't think. I don't think that's the answer. I picked up a couple games, but I also played some more KO City. Still loving that. I picked up the Game Builder Garage for the Switch, which kind of lets you build little games inside of what's presented as like coding for dummies, I guess I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pop a character out, the character's is, you know, standing there in T-pose or whatever, it doesn't move. And then you drag, you know, you go into the builder mode of it and you click on the character and then you drag, you know, you pop out a button icon and you drag it over to jump and you pop out an analog stick button and you drag it over to run right and left. And just like that, your character runs right and left and jumps. It's super simple. But you can get pretty crazy with it, and it looks cool. It's really presented in a neat way. The tutorials are they make it seem so simple that after the first tutorial, I'm like, I just want to get out of here and go build a game. But I know that I need to keep playing. Yep. Like, this is built inside of it. This car game that's happening.
That is, isn't that a GTA game? Like,
it's a top-down situation.
GTA style?
You can do, like, racers. You can, there's a lot of different things you can make in here, but I would say that it's really set up as, like, a way to prototype a game. I don't think you're going to crank out a finished product. Because you don't, I don't see that you have the way to import any assets, so if not, there'd be dick cars driving around.
Is that supposed to be Sonic?
I don't believe that to be made in Game Builder Garage. But maybe. Because somehow they do have Sonic in there, so maybe you can import stuff. I don't know. But it's really neat and presented in a cool way, so I'm excited to keep playing with it. And then I picked up Ratchet and Clank: Rift Apart. I haven't had a chance to play it yet. Probably get into it in the next week or so.
Are you excited for it? Or is it just one you have to have?
No, I'm super excited for Ratchet. I love those games back in the day. I'm super excited to get into this one, and I'm excited for like an actual PS5 exclusive that's only possible on the PS5 just to see what that's like.
Not many.
Didn't somebody made the shooter in Game Builder?
Somebody did.
That's pretty impressive.
Those are Minecraft guys.
But you see, that's what it looks like. And there's lines and shit, and it looks super complicated, but it's not because you're just dragging and dropping.
You're just linking everything together, right?
Yeah, it takes care of the coding on the back end.
Gotcha.
And yes, there's a lot going on, but it's probably not when you're doing it one piece at a time.
Right. When you know what's what.
Yep. So I thought that was pretty sense. It's a pretty neat presentation. It really feels like Labo, the way the tutorials work. And I'll continue to spend time with it and see what's possible in there. But yeah, it's just a lot of KO City, which I'm still having a good time with.
Somebody actually make?
Yeah.
Metroid in it? Wow. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty neat.
Yeah, if you're into that kind of thing, it looks pretty awesome. I don't know what that creepy little dog is, but...
It's also, I think, $30.
Oh, so it's cheap.
So it's reasonably priced as well, yep.
Cheap. Cheap is fine.
Cheap as fuck, then. How about that?
Cheap as fuck. That's not...
Nintendo's basically paying you to take this game.
That's not true. That's not what I said at all.
But let's jump into kind of meat and the potatoes. So you were off last week. We talked about some of the early stuff that went in. We'll just call it E3, but there was like 45 presentations that were maybe E3, maybe not E3.
I think the only ones... When you guys ran last week, I think the only ones that had really run were Ubisoft, right?
Ubisoft and the VR event.
And the VR event, right.
I think had both gone.
I wasn't blown away by the Ubisoft.
Excuse me, Summer Game Fest had already gone as well.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. Summer Game Fest had already gone. Ubisoft had already gone, and... the VR thing had already gone.
Anything that jumped out at you guys, Ubisoft or VR? You're like, ooh.
We talked about it last week. I don't have the list for the VR, but there was a couple things that looked cool. What I thought we'd kind of do is I'll just kind of go through each event. I'll throw out some of the big games, and then you guys just jump in and take over.
Sure.
If I skip something or if you want to expand.
Sure.
Starting with Summer Game Fest, I would say the Battlefield 2042 reveal was probably the biggest reveal of that event. But they also had Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which is a spinoff from Borderlands. Elden Ring, which is supposed to be amazing. It's a From Software and George R.R. Martin game, mm-hmm. but that game, we'll see.
I'm cautiously optimistic for it. It's the type of game that I like. Again, I don't know what I'm going to have as far as my time goes to play it then. I don't have any rhyme or reason to any of this, really. So I am cautiously optimistic about it. I think the idea of it looks cool. I think George R.R. Martin's involvement is cool. I like the premise of it, but you know, until there's a finished product, there's not much to say about it, really.
Yeah, it's kind of how I feel about it. It looks good. You finally got to actually see some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm interested to see where that goes. That's kind of the standout stuff that I have written down from Summer Game Fest. I don't know if you guys have anything.
No.
Gerald, anything from that?
No.
Nothing. Just the big ones. And that's kind of the problem with that I think we're going to see throughout the course of this podcast right now is pretty much the announcements that you're going to talk about are going to be the big ones that we care about or that we don't care about. Regardless, they're considered the big ones. There was a few, you know, oh, wow, that looks cool and no one's interested, but not much.
Yeah. So we'll jump over to Ubisoft. I think one of the big announcements there, I guess, was the gold edition of Far Cry, which lets you play as the classic villains as part of the season pass.
Which I'm not into.
Yeah, me either. They'll have backstory for each of them.
I guess I realize Far Cry started out as like that exotic, you know, socio-political thing, but with the exception of 5 and New Dawn. The Far Cry games don't do anything for me. Yeah, the ideologies behind them.
Yeah, I'm not a Far Cry guy, but people get so excited about that franchise.
And I can't figure out why what 5 and New Dawn did different, but I love those ones.
Yeah. They also showed off Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Extraction, which was previously known as Quarantine. Probably makes sense that they changed that.
Yeah.
But it's a co-op shooter. Where you fight aliens. They showed off Riders Republic, which is a MMO extreme sport game by the team that made Steep.
Right, it's Steep.
It very much looks like Steep. They showed off Mario plus Rabbids, The Spark of Hope, which is a sequel to Mario and Rabbids.
Which you love, and I could give a shit about.
I did enjoy it.
And I don't know where Gerald stands on it.
I don't think... Did you ever play it, Gerald?
No.
Yeah. And then there one more thing moment. Ubisoft showed off the Avatar Frontiers of Pandora.
Yeah.
So.
I just don't think I need an Avatar game. I wasn't one of the guys that was blown away by the movie. I thought the story was much more... was told much better when it was Dances with Wolves.
Yeah, Avatar is one of those things where it made a shit ton of money, but I don't know an actual human. It's like, I love that movie.
Yeah, it made a shit ton of money because they marketed the hell out of it, and it was one of the first movies to take advantage of the newest 3D.
Yeah, I mean, I know people who like that movie. I know people who didn't dislike it.
Right.
I don't know anyone who's like, you know what, I love Avatar.
It's all right. It's an all right movie. I've seen it once. I don't ever need to see it again.
Wonder how it holds up.
I'm not interested in any of these sequels. So yeah, I mean, I definitely don't think I needed a game.
Having said that, if the game is like this awesome open world Avatar game, it may be fun either way.
It could be, but I don't know.
It's Ubisoft, probably a collect-a-thon. Like, that, a game could be good whether you care about the movie or not.
It could, yes. But it still won't work for me because of the licensing. Because of the license that it's based on. I don't care enough about that license to play that game.
Some notable absences that people were kind of complaining about. Prince of Persia, Sands of Time, which has been delayed to 2020, that remake. Nothing new on Assassin's Creed as far as the next title. Skull and Bones, which, I mean, whatever.
DOA.
Yeah, and then, of course, their untitled Star Wars game, which is probably years away. So, some of the complaints there. Anything also, I missed? Go ahead.
Yeah, there was also notably no Sam Fisher / Splinter Cell, with the exception of an anime, I think, they announced.
I guess I'm so tired of saying that that I... skipped over. I cannot understand the strategy.
I'm not being, listen, Sam Fisher is, in my mind, the greatest property in this Tom Clancy universe.
I can't understand what Ubisoft is doing with it.
I can't either.
Or why. I can't, well, what is the benefit to not giving people what they're asking for?
I think they don't know where to go with that character anymore.
Well, that doesn't stop a lot of developers a lot of the time.
Well, that's true.
They'll shit out game after game.
You're right, but I think maybe without Michael Ironside, it's not quite... You know, they did the last one, Blacklist. Was it Blacklist?
I don't think that's right.
I think it was Splinter Cell Blacklist.
Is that the last one?
Yep. It was also, I believe, the first one without Michael Ironside. And, yep, that was the last one.
2013. So, yeah.
And, it was still a good game, but I think Michael Ironside's voice and the character of Sam Fisher are so entwined together that people just didn't take to Blacklist like they wanted to. So I think there's been a lot of strategy trying to figure out what to do with that.
Well, I'd say you fixed that problem by waiting 8 years. You're fine now.
Well, no, I get it that maybe they don't have the best strategy about it, but I think that's what's happening.
I don't remember anything about him. It's been so long. And I don't care about that. I don't care about playing a Splinter Cell game, but I cannot understand what Ubisoft is doing because everyone else seems to.
Yeah.
So I can't understand that. Gerald, anything from Ubisoft that I left out?
No.
See?
Shifting over to Xbox, who had a pretty good week leading up to, as they kind of announced that the Xbox Cloud Gaming streaming service was coming to smart TVs and some streaming devices. And they also announced that Xbox Design Lab, which is the much-loved gamepad customization service, is making a comeback. So those were kind of like big announcements leading into it. And then, of course, their event is now called the Xbox and Bethesda Showcase.
Because they have fully embraced what Bethesda gives them, which is good to see from Microsoft and Xbox. I think it was a huge coup for them to get to have Bethesda in their pocket. And I think we got some pretty good, you'll get into it more as we go through, but I think we got some pretty good indicators from Microsoft that maybe they're not going to be playing as nice with everyone else with Bethesda as everyone maybe thought.
Yeah, I think, so they started with Starfield, which was would probably have been pretty huge, but it was kind of spoiled in the hours leading up to no gameplay in the new trailer. But the biggest talking point seems to come at the end, where I guess the splash screen shows that it's an Xbox and PC, Xbox, PC, and streaming exclusive. And so that caught a lot of people off guard. And then we'll talk about it a little more as we go along. Hold on.
You catching back up? Is that what you're doing?
No, my list here timed out.
Oh, no. I hate when it happens.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this.
You can't find anything, though. See, that's what technology does, man.
But they showed off Forza Horizon 5, mm-hmm. which looked amazing as always. Saw multiplayer stuff for Halo Infinite. They also announced that the multiplayer stuff for Halo Infinite would be free to play, which is kind of a confusing statement because with Game Pass, the game itself is already.
But if you don't have Game Pass, you'll still be able to play.
I don't understand who has an Xbox and doesn't have Game Pass.
I don't either, but I don't either. I understand. But
yeah, so the multiplayer part will be free. They showed off a release date for Psychonauts 2. Also the console version of Flight Simulator. They showed off Contraband, which is a new game from Avalanche, Outer Worlds 2 from Obsidian, and Redfall from Arkane Austin, which looks super cool.
Redfall. Is that the vampire one?
That's the vampire one, yeah.
That's one of those ones I was talking about earlier, about one of those hideaways.
Yeah.
That just pops out at you, and you're like, holy shit, that looks good. That's one of them. I'm excited to play that.
And then Replaced looked pretty cool. And Senua's Sacrifice, Hellblade 2, looked very cool as well. So here's where it gets a little complicated, though. I say complicated. I guess it's really not complicated. But the Elder Scrolls is in development. And because of the Starfield thing, everybody just lost their shit on whether or not Elder Scrolls will be on multi-platform.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I'm seeing articles from stuff that was like where the acquisition started last year. Those stories are like trending again,
mm-hmm.
Because of what's going on with this. And Phil Spencer's made a ton of comments about franchises that weren't previously established may not be exclusive or may be exclusive, and franchises that are established probably won't be exclusive.
Right.
But he kind of always wraps everything up with kind of like, but we'll see.
But we'll see. Yep.
Yeah. Microsoft's business model is confusing in that they lose money on Game Pass, but they're doing everything they can to drive everyone to Game Pass. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's probably a big picture plan way down the road that it all makes sense. But
I think that big picture plan, part of that big picture plan is to get away from consoles completely with the introduction of the streaming setup. That doesn't mean it's going to happen maybe as quickly as they would like it to, but I think that's part of the plan, because that's where they lose most of their money. Is that's where Xbox has traditionally lost all of their money since the inception of the Xbox, is in the manufacturing and sales of the console. If they can get away from that, they're pretty well positioned for some things.
Yeah, I agree. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Outside of kind of the exclusives, they showed off Hades coming to Xbox. It'll also come to PlayStation, but it's coming to Xbox in August. A Plague Tale Innocence will get its next-gen patch, as well as a sequel, Plague Tale Requiem, which will arrive in 2022. There's a lot of chatter about Microsoft potentially acquiring the studio behind the Plague Tale, Asobo Studio, because they worked on Flight Simulator and have been a part of Game Pass with A Plague's Tale. So yep. A lot of chatter around that, too. Some notable games that were missed or not there. Avowed, Crossfire X, Cuphead, The Delicious Last Course, Everwild, whatever the heck Fable is doing, and Forza Motorsport, not the Horizon, and Perfect Dark, kind of ones that stand out.
Yeah.
So what did I miss from the Xbox side?
I don't think much. Overall, I think that they probably had the best show of E3. Just as far as what they were able to announce and show. I don't really think you missed much of anything.
What are you super excited about off of here?
What am I super excited about? I'm excited about Game Pass, because as I said at the beginning, it's kind of how I prefaced that at the beginning. is that I think Game Pass is going to be the way of my future. Which is nice because there's a lot of these games. Well, Outer Worlds 2, I'm incredibly excited about. I love the first Outer Worlds. So I'm really excited about that one. I'm excited about, I don't know, not quite excited. I'm more than average excited for Starfield. I don't know what it is yet. I like that Microsoft has the balls to say, you know what, we bought this studio, so some of the stuff that we're doing is going to be just for us. I know there's going to be a lot of people out there that are mad about that and they're going to cry on the internet about that, but that's business, man. That's how buying something literally works. You can do what you want with it. Redfall, I'm really excited about.
It looks super cool.
I think that was the surprise of the show for me. But I'm excited that a lot of what Microsoft is doing is going to be on Game Pass, particularly because that's the way that I am going to be playing most of my games for the foreseeable future. And what I really like about that is that it kind of means I don't have to be super excited about any of it. I can try any of them when they come out. So I think it gives me a chance to try it and become excited rather than be excited and let down by something. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
But I don't have to buy it. You know, I told you I got Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance. You know, I've already got that downloaded. That's not a game I would traditionally buy, but it would always be a game I was interested in. And at some point, it would probably go on sale for $20 or $14.99 on a super sale, and I would buy it then. I don't have to worry about it now. I have Game Pass.
Yeah, it's weird that a service can, like, you're not excited about a thing as much as you are. You're excited about the ability to check out all the things. It's weird that a service can be the star, but I think the way they presented it in just game after game, I mean, I got tired of seeing the splash screen for Game Pass. which I think is super smart. I mean, I think the winner of that, of Microsoft show, and I figured it would be coming in, was Game Pass.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
But like I said, that long-term strategy still has to make sense.
But I think it's, the good thing about Game Pass is I think it works to consumers' benefit more than we maybe even thought at the beginning. Especially, and I'm sure this is just a timing coincidence thing, but especially since recently we've been so let down by so many games that came out, you know, super excited about it, and it's just glitched to shit, or it's just not good. Everything they showed us was a lie. Glitches is the big thing. I think Game Pass almost takes that off of the table. And says, you know what? Try it all. Find something you're excited about, and you get to keep it.
The problem I have with Game Pass, as a Game Pass subscriber, I get a little bit of that like Netflix fatigue, where there's like so much stuff I end up not playing anything.
I get that.
And that's probably a me thing, but I do encounter that sometimes. There's like so many options I don't know, or I don't stick with. I bounce off of something a lot quicker than if I had purchased it.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to be less willing to give something a chance over the initial look.
And I would say 7 to 10 years ago, that would hold true
mm-hmm.
for me too. But now what I have found is I'll spend money to buy something and bounce off of it because it just didn't hold my interest. So now I'm just losing the money.
I'll do that as well, but I'll give it more of a chance.
I know. It's a willpower. It's a look. You don't know if you're going to like it. Don't buy it. I get that. But Game Pass takes that choice away from me, and I'm not necessarily mad about it.
But I guess I'm saying, like, if I bought a game, I might spend a couple hours with it and decide I don't like it. If I play a game on Game Pass, I might spend 10 minutes with it and decide I don't like it. There's no buy-in because I'm not paying for the game, I think.
We're different in that. I will still give a – I will play it for the same amount of time, whether
– Yeah, see, so I bounce off a lot. Quicker there. One thing I did leave out here, the Sea of Thieves announced the Pirates of the Caribbean crossover. That got me super excited.
Yeah, I mean, I've thought about getting back into Sea of Thieves. You know what else I did? I downloaded No Man's Sky again. It's on Game Pass.
Yeah. I really want to play that Sea of Thieves Jack Sparrow crossover.
In that case, in both those cases, I could jump back in. I might. I've thought about it. I've at least got them ready to go.
Right.
You know. But yeah, it's going to give me a chance because I'm the type of gamer, which is, and this is different than you, Ryan, I know, and I'm pretty sure it's different than Gerald too. But if there's a game, if I have nothing to play and there's a game I have even a hint of interest in, I'm the guy who'll buy it. I'll buy the game that looks semi-interesting to me just because I have a little bit of expendable income and I want to play it. I want something different to play. Game Pass allows me to get around that.
Yeah. It's hard to see a downside to Game Pass. I mean, I know I'm being pretty nitpicky about, you know, the way that I'll bounce off, but I mean, it's hard to find something you don't like about Game Pass. It's why earlier I said I don't understand who has an Xbox but doesn't have Game Pass.
I don't either. I see no reason for that.
Unless you're one of those people who has a system that plays like one game a year.
Right.
You know, I guess then maybe. Gerald, anything jump out at you from Xbox?
No.
Gerald's very consistent so far.
He is, yeah. Very consistent in his responses.
Square Enix followed Microsoft. They showed off Guardians of the Galaxy, the new Marvel tie-in game from the team behind Deus Ex. It was the longest presentation. Definitely, for me, gave me better vibes than Avengers ever did.
Uh-huh.
So I think that they're getting that a little more right. A little more right. They showed off Babylon's Fall, which is the collaboration between Platinum Games and Square. They showed off Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origin. Wrapping up, they showed off Life is Strange True Colors.
Yep.
So where are you on Square Enix?
Well, you know, I always like the Don't Nod games, so you know I'm always down. I especially like the Life is Strange universe. I have Tell Me Why downloaded. I haven't played it yet. I am interested to play it, but I mean, everything else was fine. You know, nothing else really blew me away, so to speak. I mean, I'm not interested in the Guardians game. I agree with you that it looks like it's going to be a little better than Avengers was, but I also agree with you that not much. And everything else was very, you know, Square Enix.
When I watched it, I thought, like, I feel slightly more comfortable with this than Avengers. I also feel like it's probably not going to be great.
Right, right. Yep.
And maybe, like, that's just not my thing. But... yeah, time will tell. Yeah. I don't see this setting the world on fire.
I don't either.
Gerald, I won't ask this, but anything I missed from Square Enix for you?
No.
Hard no. And then kind of finished everything off with Nintendo. For now. There are more on their way, but for now. So Mario, Nintendo did kind of show off Mario and Rabbids Spark of Hope, which has obviously had been shown at Ubisoft. But they started out with a new character for Smash Brothers, which I'm pretty well over. WarioWare, Get It Together, the new title coming for Switch. Advance Wars 1 plus 2 reboot. There's a classic Game Boy Advance games that are coming out. They showed off Metroid, but not Metroid Prime 4, which is what everybody was hoping for.
They showed off this other thing.
Metroid Dread, which is the fifth mainline Metroid game. Yep. And very much not Metroid Prime 4.
Very much not.
Yeah. It looks all right.
Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. It gave off too much of a like a Resident Evil vibe.
Yeah. And I get that.
I don't need that in my I don't want that in my Metroid.
They showed
you know,
Zelda up,
go ahead.
Zelda Upward Sword. Is that what it's called? The one from the Wii U.
Yeah.
They have remastered that with Joy-Con controls and handheld controls. And then they showed off, which I thought was actually pretty cool, the Zelda Game & Watch, which has The Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, Link's Awakening, I think, the Game Boy, and then also has like a Game & Watch special like Zelda mode that they've put in there, all in this nice little package. It would look great on the shelf next to the Mario one. Thing is so small, though. But all of this was basically just a dick tease so that they could finally drop what everybody was waiting for, which is Breath of the Wild 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not show off much of Breath of the Wild 2, but it was enough to get the internet on fire.
Now, here's an interesting theory that I'd actually thought about before I even read it. But if you look at that Breath of the Wild 2, when he's falling through the air, you know, with his hair, like, from behind it looks like it's Ganon.
Oh, yeah.
When he's falling through the air, it looks like you're playing as a young Ganon.
I'm really excited about Breath of the Wild 2. I love that first game, and I do understand I probably don't have 100 hours again, but I'm really excited about it.
Well, that's good. Right there, Ganon. See?
It's almost a little Link up skirt action there, too.
Yeah, I didn't play Breath of the Wild. It was one I...
Fantastic for me.
Had assumed I should get to and never did. So I don't even have my Switch anymore, so I can't say I'm as excited for it. I don't think it's a system seller for me. And to be fair, I don't know that any game's a system seller for me anymore. I think it's just with my age that there's not that game I have to play.
Yeah.
There's a number of games I want to. A best example I can think of right now is Horizon Forbidden West. I definitely want to play that game. But if I don't, it's not going to, you know, break my head. Like, missing out on a game like that might have years ago.
Nintendo also showed off some more things that are coming. The cloud version, they showed off Square Enix's Guardian of the Galaxy, which will be a part of a cloud title, as well as Plague Tale Innocence and Requiem. The cloud thing is weird because some games are just not possible any other way on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that trend continues. Notable absences from Nintendo, I think for most people, were Metroid Prime 4. A lot of people complaining about not seeing a Bayonetta 3 or a Splatoon 3. Also, no new Switch console, which was, I think, what a lot of people were hoping for. You know, I thought.
To be fair, they announced it. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to. I think there's a misconception that it's going to look drastically different. I don't think it is. There might be a slightly different color scheme.
People just want different, though.
But it's going to be the same system, just with different insides.
Sony obviously didn't hold anything for E3, as it doesn't do E3 anymore. It did hold a demo Forbidden West about 3 weeks ago. It's expected to hold another event this summer. But they did show during Summer Game Fest that they're Sony is partnering with the ex Call of Duty heads on a new founded studio Deviation Games, and they announced a new IP coming from them, as well as a Death Stranding Director's Cut, which will bring next-gen enhancements for the PS5 as well as additional content. There was also a Salt and Sacrifice, the sequel to 2016 Salt and Sanctuary, which is now a rare indie PlayStation exclusive. There was news about Axiom Verge 2, which has also been previously announced for the Switch and PC that will also come to PS4 and PS5 later this year. And then still to come, well, I guess we're not finished yet. Anything that I missed in any of that for Nintendo or Sony?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, so Activision Blizzard did a little something-something. Not too much there, but they showed off an HD remaster of Diablo 2. Trying to think if there's anything else on theirs. Yeah, we got a release date for that. Some Overwatch 2 designs, but nothing crazy there. Capcom did actually have its own show, but the only major announcement there is that they're developing additional DLC for Resident Evil Village.
Yep.
EA kind of rounded out what's already gone so far, but they'd already unveiled Battlefield 2042. They showed off a new Madden game with next-gen features. Kind of nothing else there. Yeah, that's about
that's
it.
That's about it.
Scrolling through here, but there's nothing else.
It's mind-blowing.
You know, it's weird. The way it's done now is very fragmented. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Yeah. It's just not its own contained show anymore.
It used to be so easy to, like, sit down and watch E3.
Yeah.
And the excitement around it and the spectacle around it. And now it's like, just for me to put together that list, there's like 20 different stories from 15 different websites.
Yep.
And they're mostly all opinion pieces on whether or not they thought the event sucked. They're not really about the things that were announced at the event.
Right, or what they think of this or what they think of that, which is fine.
But a lot of it's over the overall presentation, too, like how their event went down. And I don't know. It just, for me, as much as I don't like the way E3 was going, I did like the, it's too much. Like, I need somebody to bow out, or I need E3 to say, hey, Jeff Keighley, you're doing it right, we're doing it wrong, take over E3.
Yeah.
Which I think is the only olive branch right now that fixes it, is to say, like, take our name, make it your thing, and let's put E3 back together.
Yeah, I mean,
because the spectacle of E3 doesn't exist anymore, and the idea of 14 different events that happen to take place sort of around the same time but not really is too hard to track.
Yep, I agree.
And it led to me not caring and me just watching highlight reels later that night for all of them. I didn't watch any of these live. I watched all of these after the fact.
And I watched none of them live either.
I was underwhelmed with almost every one of them, and I think it's just because I'm like, yeah, seems right, seems right. Makes sense. You know, that's how I felt about everything.
Well, yeah, I think the problem with a lot of these games, and we can sit here and speculate on it all we want, but I think a lot of these companies, publishers and developers, they're getting too into the habit of getting comfortable.
I get that.
You know, this sold well, so we'll just do that again. This has been going on for years, don't get me wrong. But now it's like the developers and publishers don't even have any excitement about it anymore. It's just like, hey, this is what we're doing. Which is not how you get people excited about your product. Which I think is one of the reasons maybe that, you know, other than the studios behind it, but, you know, Starfield is met with so much talk about it, or Redfall is like, holy shit, nobody saw that coming. That's the game of this. That looks like the best game out here because no one knew about it, and it looks awesome. And because it is something new, there's not that. it's a new IP, and they seem to show some real excitement about this, about those, as opposed to, you know, here's Call of Duty 9275 Battle War, or whatever the fuck they decide to call it. I just think they're getting so comfortable in the money selling aspect of things that they're not excited about the property itself anymore, is how it feels.
Yeah.
That could be a product of my age. I don't know. There might be, you know, 24-year-olds out there going, holy fuck, that whole weekend blew my mind. I don't know.
I'm not seeing a ton of that, but I think you're right. I mean, I've talked about it for the last few months. Like, I love playing games still. I'm just not engaged in that world as much as I was. And I think that's probably true for you as well. And maybe not Gerald. He still plays all the time, but... It's just not, and I would even make the argument that Gerald's not the gamer that they're going after, unless it's free to play. Yep. And you can spend 400 hours on it. He's probably not going to touch it anyways.
I agree. Yep. 100%.
But I just think that maybe, and I still will swear by the fact the excitement is not there that used to exist with E3.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's a product of that excitement dying down as everything fragmented off, but also me getting older as an adult going like, do I have 100 hours to play all these? No.
Yeah.
So what can I play? What am I excited about? And that list is just not super long this year. Gerald, thoughts about E3, non-E3?
I was like you. I didn't watch it. I waited till the highlights. And just watched on YouTube, skipped over games I really don't care about because they didn't make me want to care about their games. Just show me a movie mm-hmm. trailer or a game trailer type shit. I don't need that.
Yeah.
This is where I miss E3. I mean, G4 TV. Huh. This is I really do. I really miss it because they all week long would just talk about it. They would get you excited about games you probably would have never even played before.
And maybe you're right. Maybe it could be done that way where E3 can stay this fragmented thing, but maybe someone who would take that and put it in a nice little package for me.
Right.
And present it as if it was still a thing, that would work as well.
Because do you remember like, me and you going to watch the Sony press conferences? I mean.
It was amazing.
On the movie screen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freaking awesome.
I went here. Remember my first year back? Yeah. You guys went and I went here.
Freaking awesome. You know, that stuff is super cool. But just the spectacle around E3, like, it's all there. Like, the big three went, everybody else went, like, there was a schedule. It was all presented in one nice one little package, and that doesn't exist anymore. And I get for business reasons why that doesn't exist, and I'm not shitting on that.
But I think have an effect on the consumer.
Yeah, it's just harder for me to take it all in. And like people that shouldn't be doing their own things are doing their own things, but it's because they can't get anywhere else. And I get it. And it's just complicated. I like Jeff Keighley a lot. I would love to see him be the person that brings this to whatever it looks like next, but that'll only work without 145 other people trying to do the same thing.
Like, what was it that one year there was it was just another boring E3, but there was some new game developer there that did some sort of crazy shit. It was like 4 years ago or something. They did this, or they didn't go into E3. They did their own thing outside. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Do you remember who it was?
Well, EA? Was it EA?
I don't think so. No, it was some new company.
Oh.
Some new developer company that did some crazy shit outside with all these colorful slides and shit.
I don't remember.
They like rented a spot outside of the building that they were doing E3 in.
Yeah, like the year that I got to go, like we parked like next door in this like Saints Row themed parking, and like it really was like a spectacle, and there was like tents set up, and there was the NOS like had a giant booth and like a Hummer with like guns mounted all over it, and there were zombies everywhere. Like it was just neat, and I feel like that spectacle is gone, and that's a product of the world that we live in today. But I also feel like it felt like as things detached from E3, they still stayed attached to E3, and I no longer feel that way. Like, as Microsoft said, hey, we're doing it at the same time.
You know what it feels like? It feels like an investors meeting.
So E3, for me, has just started to feel like a thing, like they're checking a box, like we have to do E3.
Right.
It's not like this is the event where everybody sees what's going on. Now it's like it's a thing we have to do, or it's not if you're Sony. And how much buzz did Sony really lose by not doing this? We spent the same amount of time on Sony saying what they didn't show.
Yeah, I mean,
I just don't know that there's an impact anymore like there used to be with this. I could be wrong. Maybe it's old man syndrome. Maybe I'm tired. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But that's kind of my takeaways. There were some games that do excite me. They would have excited me no matter what. There's some games that didn't excite me. There's some surprises, too, which are always nice. But I tell you what, I watched a lot of E3 stuff, and I was still excited to play Game Builder Garage and Ratchet and Clank.
And the thing, and no matter what, regardless of what Microsoft showed about Game Pass, the entire E3 made me glad that I have Game Pass. Because there was nothing else, there was nothing that was shown that was like, oh, I have to play that. I have to have that day one. I'm like, there's some first part, there's some games that are releasing day and date on Game Pass. Cool. I can play those.
Yeah. So, any other final thoughts on E3 as we close that out?
No.
It's almost not even fair to call it E3. I mean, it's whatever just happened the last week.
I don't know, there was a lot of entertainment going on there.
Yeah.
And I don't know about being an expo.
Yeah.
Like I said, it feels very investors meeting-ish.
Oh, look, they did. Microsoft did show off.
I forgot about that Xbox Mini Fringe.
It's pretty cool.
I kind of want that because that plays off the joke. They created that because it plays off the joke that the Series X looks like a fridge.
It's also pretty cool.
And it is pretty cool. But pretty badass.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Gerald, anything final for you?
No, just disappointed.
So that's how I like to leave people with this show. So can't hate on them for doing that. Head over to patreon.com/GameStitch if you want to support us, and we can disappoint you more, and it can cost you money for that to happen. Just like for the show, Mike, Zach, and Thomas. I know this is probably not the, like, oh my God, this was an amazing last week that everybody was hoping for, but that's not how I felt.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing you're going to get out of us is we're not going to lie to you. We're not going to drum up the excitement. We're not going to fake it. It was underwhelming for us. We're going to let you know that we felt it was underwhelming.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I wanted to be excited. I think maybe it was so compartmentalized, it was just hard for me to.
Yeah, and I don't even know that. Maybe it's a product of, because let's face it, my old man syndrome is probably hits a little harder than yours.
I don't know. I'm trying really
hard. I don't know that I even went into it expecting to be excited by anything.
I wanted to be. I didn't think I would be.
Wanting to be.
Oh, I did want to be. I just didn't think I would be. Which is maybe also part of the problem, is I went in thinking I wouldn't be. But, you know, I still love video games. I still love... It's like, as I become an old man, my time is more important to me, so I need a better way to be able to watch E3. I need a better way to be able to watch Summer Game Fest. Like, I need a better way. I need... Serve it up to me nice. Because what they did was brought my meal every single part of my meal at separate times in separate bowls.
Right, what you got...
out of order. I got my dessert before I got my entree. Like, it was all just fucked up.
Yeah, no, here's... Okay, what you wanted was being out at a decent restaurant and having a decent meal. What you got was going through the lunch line in school.
It's like not even that. It's like I got.
Well, they just tossed the shit into little squares on the tray.
But not even in the order that I wanted. And with no buildup, I could see all the food before I got it.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I get it. So a lot of this is a product of the world that we live in, right? The expo part wasn't a thing.
Yeah, it kind of couldn't be.
Right.
I do get
so
that.
As that changes and that goes back to normal, then maybe all of this will go back to normal too. So I'm not giving up on what is E3. I would just like to see much more of a collaboration than a fight for supremacy during this time of what should be video game announcements. So also, I don't think we have to do it all. Like, I don't think we have to do it this way anymore. Like, I don't know if it all has to be in June. Everybody says everything that's going on for the next 2 years. Like, I don't know if we have to do it that way anymore.
Yeah.
I just
it's a new world. We live in a new world.
Yep. A whole new world, some might say.
A whole new world.
Well, this show just got removed from the internet. That's about all Disney will allow. Joe, do you want to break any copyright infringements before we go?
No, I have no idea what Dan just sung.
Awesome.
Good.
No one else will either.
Patreon.com/GameStitch if you want to support us. If you don't, head over to the social medias at @game_stitch, @ShirtlessDan, @PodcastRyan, @HoffinShow. Let us know what you did like from the show or what you didn't, or maybe we're just way off base and we're just three grumpy old dudes. I don't know.
Could be.
Let us know. Let us know. Call us out.
But let us know, regardless.
Call us out. So let us know over there in one of those methods. We appreciate everybody for listening. As far as I know, we'll be back next week, same time, same place. And if there's a real disappointment from E3, like if you missed a game or something like that we didn't talk about, let us know about that too. I wasn't let down because I didn't have any expectations. It's a little life lesson for you.
Nor did I.
So that's all I got.
That's it.
We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Good night.
Good night.